Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
The Labor Board taking action against Starbucks. Retail workers filing objections against Amazon in Alabama. And today on the show, the latest from the Communication Workers of America and the Detroit Federation of Musicians. Welcome to the Tuesday, April 12th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on a growing number of platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And remember this, when you get an opportunity, just sign up and receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate a five-star rating. We have two guests on the show today. We are going to start things off with one of our regulars and a sponsor of this show, Mr. Frank Matthews, who is the administrative director for the Communication Workers District 4. That's five states in the Midwest: Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, as well as Wisconsin. First off the plate today, Columbus workers. We're going to talk about winning heroes pay. You heard about this during the pandemic. People who had to work, getting a few extra bucks, well, for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, and all of a sudden, many of the corporations said, well, that's enough. They can work at regular wages now. The big win at Amazon in New York, specifically Staten Island. This is posted on the CWA national website, cwa-union.org. And it reads as following: CWA members know that when workers fight, we win. Amazon workers at the JFK 8 warehouse went toe-to-toe with one of the world's largest corporations, and they won. For too long, corporations have used their control over the workplace and spent millions on specialized union-busting consultants to isolate and divide workers who want to have a union voice. The Amazon workers in Staten Island refuse to be intimidated and have demonstrated the strength and power that solidarity gives us. There's more posted on the CWA website. Frank will chime in on that and what this means for organizing. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of things going on. I'm just going to read a few. The United Soccer League Players Association, the union representing all of the United Soccer League's championship and League One players, has signed an agreement officially affiliating with the CWA. Then out in Durango, Colorado, a group of 50 ski patrollers at the Purgatory Resort have voted overwhelmingly to join the United Professional Ski Patrols of America. And they are affiliated with the Communication Workers Local 7781. Last Thursday, graduate student workers at Fordham University in New York won their election to become members of CWA Local 1104. Check out this vote. 229-15. Yeah, I would say that's overwhelming. And in a sweeping victory for workers who overcame a relentless anti-union campaign from their employer, a group of Google Fiber contractors, this is in Kansas City, Missouri, overwhelmingly won their union election. This is the first officially recognized bargaining unit to be formed with the Alphabet Workers Union, again affiliated with the CWA. This would be Local 1400. A multi-million dollar corporation, Google. I mean, Google this, Google that. They make a ton of money, and they fought the union, no doubt about that. So we'll mix it all up with Mr. Frank Matthews as our first guest. Later in the show, we're going to go to Detroit, Michigan, and join George Troia. Now, George is with the Detroit Federation of Musicians, that would be AFM Local 5, And he's been there a long time, over 50 years. DetroitMusicians.net is their website. And we'll talk about fair wages. We'll talk about how they navigated through the pandemic with the shutdown and why it's better to be bargaining together. You're better off when you bargain together. And they represent a lot of orchestras, theater groups in the Detroit area. They are the 12th largest overall chapter in the AFM. Detroit Symphony Orchestra, Detroit Opera House, Michigan Opera Theater, the Detroit Jazz Festival, Michigan Philharmonic, Dearborn Symphony Orchestra. All this is posted on their website, DetroitMusicians.net. So George Troyer will be joining us later in the show. The National Labor Relations Board is taking legal action against Starbucks. Why? For unlawfully firing its workers for union activity. According to Bloomberg News, NLRB prosecutors plan to formally accuse the company of firing 7 employees who are trying to unionize a Memphis, Tennessee Starbucks store. Almost all of the fired workers, self-dubbed the Memphis 7, were union leaders at the store. The firings and the NLRB response come amidst a wave of union organizing efforts at Starbucks locations all around the country, prompting their founder, Howard Schultz, to come out of retirement and take over the mantle as CEO. A recent tally shows that around 200 Starbucks locations have filed for NLRB elections since Buffalo-based Starbucks workers won their first union. That was last December. You knew this was going to happen. You knew this was going to happen. I'm sure the leaders didn't expect it to spread so quickly, but with the changes at the National Labor Relations Board, getting a green light on organizing, well, that's what's happening. The Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union, which is affiliated with the UFCW, Food and Commercial Workers, has filed objections over online retail giant Amazon's conduct during the most recent unionization vote at their Bessemer, Alabama location. They're still counting the votes there, by the way. There's about 400 that are disputed. In the meantime, the union is charging that Amazon interfered with its employees' right to a free and fair election under the National Labor Relations Act. So they are requesting that the labor board schedule a hearing to determine if the results of the election should be set aside. And this would be the second time. You know, we went through all of this a year ago. Workers at Amazon have endured a needlessly long and aggressive fight to unionize their workplace, with Amazon doing everything it can to spread misinformation and to deceive workers. That comment from Stuart Applebaum, who's the head of the Retail Workers Union. He went on to say the company violated the law in the first election, did so again in this rerun election without any doubt. We will continue to hold Amazon accountable and ensure workers' voices are heard. So, we are filing objections on Amazon's behavior during this election, which include countless attempts to intimidate workers, even going so far as to terminate and suspend workers who supported the union. Amazon's behavior must not go unchallenged, said Applebaum, and workers in Bessemer, Alabama, must have their rights protected under the law. We urge the labor board to carefully review our objections and ensure no company, not even the bottomless pockets of Amazon, is allowed to act above the law. Some powerful words there from Mr. Stuart Applebaum, who is president of the Retail and Warehouse Union. And one more here, the AFL-CIO is revitalizing its Workers First agenda. You might want to go to the website, aflcio.org, and it reads as follows. Building a better America is President Biden's plan to secure our economy. We fought hard to ensure this plan includes the top priorities from our Workers First agenda. And they list a couple of them here. Supporting worker organizing with real penalties for companies that violate our right to come together on the job. Investing in clean energy and manufacturing jobs right here in the United States. Accessing better health care, lower prescription drug costs. And lastly, lifting up our future generations with affordable, quality child care and investments in education. You know, a lot of this was contained in the Build Back Better piece of legislation, which for now has been on the back burner. But if you want to join the campaign, just go to AFL-CIO.org and put your name on the petition drive. All right, we have to break. Frank Matthews on behalf of the CWA coming up next.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions. But we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our Raising Wages agenda, go to AFLCIO.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle, real simple, AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. Before we get to Frank Matthews, I got to give a plug here to Union Plus. Just Google Union Plus. I've been getting a lot of emails and also some information from the AFL-CIO on what they do. And there was a story that posted just yesterday, a woman by the name of Sharon Osterman, and she is only one of two veterinarians. This is at a municipal animal shelter in California. She's a mom of a three-year-old boy, lots of expenses. So she went to the Union Plus mortgage program, and she found out she could do this all online, and they catered to everything that she wanted. So she and her husband were able to sign up for new loan documents. And they closed with hours, and this is while they did this while the kid was sleeping. So they were really blown away by how fast it was done, and they were able to lower their mortgage. And it's all because of Union Plus's mortgage program. You want to find more? Just visit unionplus.org, unionplus.org. I'm getting tons of stories on how effective this organization has been, and obviously it caters to union brothers and sisters, and Sharon is a real happy camper today. All right, let's go to our live line right now and join Mr. Frank Matthews, one of our regulars, proud sponsor of America's Workforce. He is the administrative director of CWA District 4. Mr. Matthews, welcome back to the show. How are we doing today, my brother?
Good afternoon. We're doing great. Hey, that Union Plus stuff, man, I was listening to you there. That's good stuff, man. I mean, people don't realize that. We, my wife and I, several years ago, refied through them. And I tell you what part of it was, and people don't realize, is part of the thing at the time, and I think it's still this way, is that as long as you have refied or are with them, I think it's 6 months to a year, something like that. If you would ever go on strike or have a work stoppage, they voluntarily would cease your payments. So that's just another less, you know, that's one less worry on a work stoppage. And, you know, a lot of times that's what prevents people from wanting to take that stand that's needed. And you know, if you know, it's just a relief. That along with through that Union Plus, there's all kinds of free college now for union members and their families. So, you know, we make that as part of any of our employee orientation and our union and orientation at CWA and allow them the programs and the free things, you know, all the way down to free legal visits through Union Plus, that first visit being free with any lawyer, a number of lawyers in their town. So, you know, we make sure they know that, you know, because they are a union member, this is one of the benefits. So that's great. Thanks for trumping that up.
Not a problem. Don't say trumping that up, okay?
No, yeah.
Wrong word to use.
Yeah, thanks for building that up, because it's so important and it is a great benefit. In these times of you know, everybody's got worries and pressures, and to have one less worry during that situation is awesome.
Oh, definitely. Unionplus.org. We used to feature them years ago on this show. They had some changes in the front office, but we'll definitely bring them back to talk about some of those benefits. I mean, really good stuff. Cars, homes, you name it. And I like that, especially if you're on strike. That's one less worry to pay your mortgage. And, Frank, think about the coal miners down in Alabama. They've been on strike for a year and a week now. So that would be a huge benefit to them if any of them signed up with the union. Plus, I'm sure some of them have as well. All right, let's talk about some wins here. And boy, I was on your website last night and I'm checking out so many organizing wins. But first, let's talk about what happened in Columbus, where the workers there got some hero pay. Can you give us some details on this, Frank?
Yeah, but it was all through the American Rescue Plan. You know, that was put through by President Obama or President Biden, and you know, that gave money to cities for a myriad of things. But one of them was that to work towards heroes pay and those folks. Because let's be honest, during the pandemic in its height, our members. All workers across the country, there were many on the front lines, you know, that were picking up the extra shifts, working extended shifts, working weird hours, and this was all to maintain services to us, okay? And so, I mean, you know, that's the definition of hero pay. So I think originally the idea in that city was to authorize $1,000 per employee, But there was a portion of it. It was tied to the hero pay and the vaccination pay. I don't know all the details, but the particulars on that. But the local there, local 4502 in Columbus, and their president Susan Wilson and her team went above and beyond and got a memorandum of understanding with the city that that basically provided $1,000 in hero pay for the full-time frontline workers, $500 to other full-time workers who worked during the period, and then a separate $500 vaccination award, which was, that's big money. I mean, when you go in and somebody thinking they weren't going to get anything or were going to get $500, and now all of a sudden they're handed, you know, $1,500 as a thank you for, A, the vaccination, and hey, you know what, we appreciate it. You know, these folks, none of them work. They all work because they love the city. They are, you know, most of our members out here work because they love to serve, but it's nice to be told thank you, and that's kudos to that local for going above and beyond and being the voice of those employees and working that deal out with the city and much appreciation to the city of Columbus also for unanimously the council for authorizing that.
And Columbus right now is on fire, especially with that Intel plant that's going to be built. That's going to create about 7,000 construction jobs, about 3,000 jobs inside the facility when that's built. And they expect that to be built between, 2 to 3 years from now, somewhere in that time frame. But, yeah, that city is really moving in the right direction. I'm sure there'll be a whole lot more organizing going on there, too, especially when
they're absolutely. And they've drawn a, like, you know, you can go out 100 and, you know, and this isn't too much of a stretch. I've heard people say that you can go draw a circle, take a coffee cup and draw a circle around where that plant's going to be and go out 100 miles to 120 miles. And that's the kind of effect that's going to have on that whole region. So, I mean, it's going to be unbelievable for Ohio and unbelievable for families. Let's just hope everything's done right. And we get her built and get these employees in there and they're good union jobs and, you know, living wage jobs, and which they tout that they're going to be. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
I hear you.
Well, I want to salute your former general counsel, and that would be Jennifer Abruzzo, who is now the top cop at the National Labor Relations Board. She's the general counsel there. And last week she announced that captive audience meetings are illegal. Now, this is not a done deal. She's got to get the vote of the board, but Frank, she did a lot for the CWA in her capacity there, and I just want to talk about that. Number one, I want to say thank you for creating somebody like that, and bringing them over to Washington so they could spread the good word. So talk to me about Jennifer Abruzzo, what kind of person she is, and what you see lying ahead here. This is a game changer, especially if the board goes with it.
Is an underestimation there. I mean, it's awesome. You know, and we talked when the appointment was made, and, you know, she was with the general counsel's office at the CWA and just was one of our top fighters. Anything labor, anytime anybody was wronged, that's just was in her DNA. And, you know, it was a pretty it was a great pickup and a great recognition of talent when the Biden administration appointed her as general counsel over there at the NLRB. And you know, it's such a clear contrast to what went under the Trump administration. We were constantly playing defense of not only unfair rulings. You know, the NLRA, National Labor Relations Act, created this whole deal so it would be a level playing field. And what we saw, you know, under the Trump administration was they were going back and not only issuing unfair rulings on current NLRB cases, but actually going back and reversing things that were labor-friendly rulings prior to Trump ever getting into office. So, I mean, we constantly say it, elections matter. The president has the right to put these people in, and if you've got a labor-friendly president, like we have now, probably the most labor-friendly and the most working family-conscious presidents we've had ever, you're going to see appointments like this. And it's just like, this ruling is, I mean, forever. We sit here on these calls and talk about the things that the PRO Act's going to do. You know, this all goes in line with that of leveling the playing field when people want to organize. I don't know if you've seen in the news lately the companies out there that are posting notes on boards now, especially when you got these groups like Amazon and Starbucks and all them posting on now that they're getting, there's so much organizing going on. You're seeing posters put up like employees are not allowed to talk to other employees about wages, benefits, health care, besides being illegal. I mean, companies and CEOs have no problem ordering employees not to say a word at the workplace about what they're making or what each person's getting, or, you know, because there is such a disparity, and they know it. Their workers don't have a voice at the workplace, but they have no problem bringing people into a captive audience meeting, holding them there sometimes 2, 3, 4 hours, just pounding anti-union messages down, you know, sharing messages with them that, you know, trying to get them to vote down or not unionize. So, you know, captive audience meetings have been around forever. What this would do, General Counsel Abruzzo's position was very clear, that the board incorrectly previously said that captive audience meetings were legal, and that going forward, when they make them illegal or have a clear ruling that they are a violation, that captive audience meetings would be unlawful, that employers would be at risk of committing unfair labor practices if they took part in them as part of their anti-union campaign. And, you know, it's going to force employers to seek alternative forms of communication with their members, which, you know, has always been they could, but it seems they take the easy road. And when an employee is at work and they know they have to be there, they would bring them into these captive audience meetings. And, you know, it's, I equate it to those, you know, sales pitches or the timeshare pitches when they pull you into a room with the general manager and the manager and the manager's assistant and squeeze you until you, you know, that's the whole mindset behind these captive audience meetings. So we used the word game changer early on, and I mean, I guess I close this out by saying elections matter. When we have people at Pennsylvania Avenue that care about working families, we're going to get bills and rulings like this, and you know, we got to, sometimes people got to quit voting against their own interest, you know.
I like what Jennifer said in her release last week. This license to coerce, when she's referring to the captive audience meetings, this license to coerce is an anomaly in labor law, which is inconsistent with the acts, and she's referring to the National Labor Act's protection of employees' free choice. That's what it's all about. It's free choice here. And if you are forced to listen to this, that's not a free choice. Not at all. All right, Frank, I got to take a quick break. I want to talk about the big win in New York with Amazon workers. Later in the show, George Troia will be joining us on behalf of the American Federation of Musicians in Detroit. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers are proud to be a title sponsor for America's Workforce Radio. The Insulators Union is leading the way in the mechanical insulation industry, fire stopping, and infectious disease control. Regarded as North America's energy conservation specialist, these professionals are known for their professional work and dedication. You can learn more about the Insulators Union at insulators.org.
From the Golden Gate Bridge to the St. Louis Gateway Arch, the Sears Tower, and just about every building, bridge, and structure in between, our cities and towns wouldn't be the same without ironworkers. With over 3,000 contractors employing more than 130,000 highly trained ironworkers and 20,000 apprentices, the Ironworkers Union stands ready and able to shape the future of our skylines. Learn more at ironworkers.org. Ironworkers, the sky's the limit.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, we are available on at least six platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Pandora, and Stitcher. And remember this, when you get an opportunity, just sign up. Receive our shows on a regular basis and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings. By the way, this next segment here brought to you in part by the Ohio Federation of Teachers, oh.aft. .org is our website. We'll be joining them a week from today. Right now, let's go back to our live line, rejoin one of our regulars. That would be Mr. Frank Matthews, also a sponsor of the show, Communication Workers of America, CWA-Union.org. Frank, I want to talk about this big win
for Amazon workers in Staten Island, New York. Historic win. What's fascinating about it, I don't know if you've seen some of the posts, these workers were something else. They started a GoFundMe page. I guess they raised at least $100,000. They were not affiliated with any union. No ties to the AFL-CIO. I guess a couple of unions reached out. They said, well, we want to try this on our own. And they definitely, they had some ground troops. I don't know if you saw a couple of the Twitter posts. They took pictures of the union busters and posted them right away saying, hey, you don't want to talk to this person. I mean, Frank, this is a different kind of organizing. I'd like to get your take on it. I see on your website, on the CWA website, your union is behind them, as they should be, 100%. Reading CWA members know that when workers fight, we win. And they reference what happened in New York. I'd like to hear your perspective on this, Frank. Go ahead.
Oh, God bless them. You know, this group is so motivated. You know, and you know, they had huge support, and that just doesn't, you know, it makes you really appreciate the group, but it also makes you also kind of sit back and say, wow, how bad things must be, because it's tough. It's tough to unionize work groups, and for, you know, the numbers to be this high. And then, you know, the anti-union lobbying that Amazon did, the workers there at that JFK 8 warehouse, it's basically there's no better rebuke to how these employees have been treated and that their drive for a voice at the workplace than exactly what happened here. And our hat's off to them. You know, there's 8,300 people at that workers at the warehouse. Over 6,000, I think, voted, which that's buy-in. That's interest, regardless of how they voted. You know, people were engaged. And, you know, it goes to prove that if people get together and are motivated and for the right cause, you can get them there. And we've seen through and through here in this, you know, as a result of the pandemic, and this goes, I think, beyond the pandemic. It goes against how corporate America has just basically run roughshod with an unlevel playing field and had everything going their ways to keep workers down for so long that I think things are turning around, and it's very exciting. You know, of course, Amazon has already viciously started fighting back and appealing this and appealing that with ludicrous stuff that, you know, I saw one report where they had accused accused the union of buying votes with weed. I mean, that's absurd. That's crazy. I mean, that's crazy press stuff that is thrown against a wall by a desperate group of people that aren't used to, quite honestly, workers standing up and, you know, what is it Bezos makes a day on Amazon? And you know, it's pretty, you know, pretty amazing to me that, you know, that you can go on, he can go on the news once a month and brag about the money that he's spending to send a sphere just barely into space so he can float around for 30 seconds. And it's billions. And here we have working families in this group that want a better life. They want a voice on the job. They're obviously helping him make billions of dollars a day. And they just want a living wage job, a job they can retire at, raise a family, and they're being smacked in the mouth even after they won this battle. So it's typical, but with folks going back to our previous story there about the NLRB and Jennifer Abruzzo, with folks like that there, I'm very encouraged.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And they know that. They know that there's a different makeup in Washington that's kind of paving the way. In fact, I was reading earlier in the show that the NLRB is taking legal action against Starbucks for unlawfully firing its workers for union activity. And this is in Memphis. They call them the Memphis Seven. They were all union leaders at the store, and they were all fired. And that prompted Starbucks' CEO, Howard Schultz, to come out of retirement. I'm wondering if Bezos is going to do the same, because he kind of turned over the reins of that company. And so he might get back in there to beef up his anti-union activity. And
right.
That's interesting that you mentioned that. I heard about that, too. They're claiming that the workers there were giving away marijuana so they would vote for the union. I mean, talk about a low blow. My gosh. Jeez.
It's cartoonish, but I'm not surprised. You know, and good for those workers. I mean, they stood up, 2,600 voted, over 2,600, I believe, voted in support of the union, 2,654.
Yeah.
Those are huge numbers. I mean, it's a huge win. Just basically that the company was punching them in the mouth every time they turned around and holding them down. The captive audience meetings, the anti this, anti that, and God bless those folks. I mean, they're going to change lives for decades based on what they're doing right now, and that's what it's about. It's about rising tide, right? Rising all ships. And that's the beautiful thing about labor is, we believe that, as the tide rises, everybody's life should get better, much like this country was back in the 30s when unions were at their heyday, creating the middle class. That's exactly what these gazillionaires don't want and I've said it before, I think they want us back in the robber baron days where you're begging for that $4 an hour job and working whatever shift. And if they want to make you work 18 hours a day, or they want to come in on a Friday when your son or daughter's got a ball game and tell you that, you'll work all night. Those days are over. I mean, people want a good job. They want to do a good day's pay. They want to do a great job for their employer, but also, there's a balance to life, and it's this COVID thing is made a lot of people realize that, and corporations are seeing that. So I think there's going to be a shift in this country in a way that really good employers and the successful businesses treat their employees.
Yeah, you're seeing it happen right now.
Yep.
Well, despite the unlevel playing field, your union is doing pretty darn good. I was reading earlier about graduate student workers at Fordham. They're affiliated with now 1104 CWA. I see ski patrollers out in Colorado, soccer league players. These are all.
We've even got soccer players.
I know. You got them all. You got them all. So hats off to you. Just a couple of minutes left in the show here. I have to ask you about the PRO Act. You kind of touched on that throughout our conversation today. And I did notice on the on the AFL-CIO page, they seem to be revitalizing the campaign. I know Biden's got a lot on his plate right now, and we still got some senators who may not see the light on this, but how do you feel about that moving forward, the PRO Act, which is actually the Richard Trumka PRO Act? What's your thought, Frank?
Well, I feel better than I did a month ago. I think a lot of this revitalization and these organizing drives help, and not so much because of the drives themselves and the success, but I think a lot of the folks that were on the fence or on the other side are seeing some of the things that Starbucks and the Amazons and these corporations are doing, and maybe people that were kind of in denial about how bad these folks that were treated when they try to run an organizing drive or they try to have a voice at the workplace are basically being treated, and that's got to help. You're right. The president does have a lot on his plate, and it's like, all it takes is one or two issues to kind of suck the air out of the room, if you will. And, you know, we got through a really important one here this past week with getting Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson into the Supreme Court. And hopefully we can get some leeway and some clarification and some corrections here, what's going on in the Ukraine. I know that's top-notch on Biden's plate, and rightfully so. You know, we get a few of those issues behind us, and we can concentrate on getting back to, you know, helping working families and that thing. The Ketanji Brown Jackson appointment was, you know, that's something that labor folks in this country are going to be appreciating, and I don't think they understand just how much yet. But, you know, here we have a person that was eminently qualified. You know, the first woman of color on the Supreme Court, but more importantly, is she is eminently qualified, and she has that background where she has supported labor in the past. You know, back in 2018, and I'm sure you discussed it, she actually blocked President Trump from an improper executive order that he was going to institute, which basically put the hammer on federal employees who were legitimately trying to unionize. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it all comes back to organizing and people having a job on the workplace. And, you know, I think, you know, you hear the comment, follow the money. Well, in this case, follow the organizing drives, because the people in power in this country do not want workers having a voice and workers being united. So, anyway, we get that. That's such a huge, huge thing for this country with that appointment. But hopefully we get some air back in the room and we can start refocusing like we were before a few of these things popped up.
I hear you, brother. Frank Matthews, Administrative District 4 Director for the CWA, proud sponsor of America's Workforce, CWA-Union.org. Stay safe, my brother. We'll talk to you next month, okay?
We'll see you, buddy.
All right, quick break. George Troyes is with the Detroit Federation Musicians. He's coming up next.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferentz with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle, real simple, AWF Union Podcast, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to our live line right now. Joining us from Detroit, Michigan, Mr. George Troyes. George is president of the American Federation of Musicians. That would be Local 5. And their website is DetroitMusicians.net. Hey, George, how are we doing today, my brother?
Very good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. Not a problem. We've got Local 4 in Cleveland, Ohio. Len DeCosimo is a president. Yeah, do you know Len?
Very well. Good friend of mine.
Yeah. Good guy. Good guy. Yeah, we're just a stone's throw away right across the lake there. Talk to me about your history. I mean, a very long history. I was reading, what is it, 51 years? Is that right?
Yes, I've been a Local 5 member for 51 years, correct.
And yeah. So how old were you when you joined Local 5 over there?
Officially 19. I had tried to join at 16 because I was working in my dad's band, and it was under a contract, so he used to get a work permit for me, but they wouldn't take me as a full member. So, but they did at 19 because I took a job that was six nights a week. So,
what instrument do you play?
I play trombone. That's my major instrument.
Okay.
But I do play lower brass, and some piano. I was a teacher, too, for 30 of those years, so I played a lot of instruments. So
how's the work been in Detroit? And I know it's been kind of crazy with the pandemic. Are we kind of back to normal right now, or what?
Yeah, well, I was just, it's funny you ask. I'm just writing our column for our newsletter, and I'm citing all the concerts that are happening now that are finally getting people back to work fully like they used to be. We did have work going on during the pandemic. Our Detroit Symphony, which we represent here, kept webcasts going during the pandemic. You know, they were broadcast live from Orchestra Hall, but they couldn't have an audience during the, 2020. They welcomed their full audience back in 2021. And our opera just opened this week in the opera house with a full opera, full orchestra. So we are getting back to some sort of normalcy here under COVID restrictions.
I see on your website 830 members. Is that still accurate, George?
Actually, we're about 760 right now.
Yeah, I see Detroit Symphony Orchestra, Michigan Opera Theater, Detroit Opera House, Detroit Jazz Festival, Michigan Philharmonic, Dearborn Symphony Orchestra. How the contract negotiations been going there, especially with all the things going on?
Most of these, the ones that expired right before the pandemic, we've been on extensions with those. So we're getting ready to renegotiate new contracts right now as we speak. I have 7 agreements, and I'm going to be doing 6 of them over the course of this summer here.
So how's that been going for you? Is there a tug of war going on? How some of the management likes to play.
Yeah, so far not yet, but I've been comparing notes with some of the other unions, and between the extensions just extended the old wage scale, so there haven't been raises. There hasn't been raises in 2 years. Plus this new hit of inflation we're getting, we're going to be asking for a lot. So I do expect quite a bit of back and forth here.
What about growing? Things are, like you pointed out, getting better, but young people, getting them involved in the union right away, are you having a difficult time trying to attract them to Local 5 over there, or is it going pretty well right now?
It's a mix of both. We've been offering, especially this month is Jazz Appreciation Month. So one of the benefits of being affiliated with the American Federation of Musicians, we also have this Music Performance Trust Fund that sponsors a lot of gigs. So we've been sending a lot of younger groups out, with the condition that there are memberships, but the gig is fully paid for by the Music Performance Trust Fund. And we have about 10 of those going on this week. So they're finding some value in doing it that way, and we're trying to show them some of the other things that make it valuable to be with us. Mm-hmm. For example, during the pandemic, we also have a 501c3 associated with our local that's called the Detroit Musicians Fund, and they allotted money for COVID grants that helped people. If they couldn't get on unemployment right away, they got a grant, or they were sick and just could not go anywhere, couldn't work. We gave them money through that fund, so it was helpful. So we're trying to show them that it's not just all about what gig you go to and how much you get, but that we'll be there when you need us, for something.
Right. So, what about National, the American Federation of Musicians, which goes way back, a very long and rich history? Do you get assistance from them? Maybe you could spell that out. I mean, you got, like you said, almost 800 members here. I don't know what the national number is across the country.
Yeah, the national's right now between 60 and 80,000, I think. We do get assistance from them. They negotiate most of the electronic agreements that are used in everybody's markets. So we have to adhere to those schedules. And especially here, it's funny you mentioned Motor City because a lot of our Motown stuff is reused a lot. And we file for reuse through the AFM, and a lot of our people get reuse money for a lot of these projects that they played on 50 years ago, you know, like when I was growing up. So
Right. I hear you. Boy, there was some good music out of Motown back in the day, and you were part of that, weren't you?
A little bit. You know, I came in on the late edge of it. A lot of the arrangers stayed here. They didn't go to California with Berry Gordy, and they kept doing recording sessions with a lot of the name acts, you know, so I was able to get on a lot of those recording sessions.
George, let me ask you about some of the venues here, and I could speak to this because I know, especially in Cleveland, there was a little tug of war going a couple years back where when they did like live plays and they needed an orchestra to accompany them, sometimes they would go with a recording instead of the live performance to go along with that, and because it was cheaper and it was already done, they didn't have to pay musicians. Has some of that been going on in Detroit? Just have to ask you that question.
Well, you know, it's funny you ask because that's kind of how I got into the political part of it. I was one of the early members of a group called the Theater Musicians Association, and that's founded throughout the whole country. And we were addressing that problem, that they were replacing pit orchestras with recordings. So we've lobbied against that as the best we can, and we do get help from the AFM. They negotiate our touring, our national touring agreements, which usually sends out all the big shows first. Mm-hmm. Now, locally, what we do to make sure it's just not a total recording, we have stuff built into our contract where they're going to have to pay a certain amount of musicians, period, whether they use them or not. We call them standbys. So that deters them. They'd rather have the real thing. Plus, we've informed a lot of our public that, you know, ticket prices are not going down, and you're getting an inferior product if you're just getting a recording, you know.
Oh, I hear you. I know there was some pushback when I mentioned what happened here a couple years ago. They said, wait a minute, I'm paying like $150 for a ticket and I'm not getting a live performance. I mean, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah, that's not the art form the way it was created. You know, what irks me especially is these ballet companies that do this. Years ago, they all traveled with an orchestra or hired an orchestra. Ballet, you know, I understand it's the dancing on the stage, but it's also a huge chunk is the music underneath, you know?
Sure. So, it's all part of it.
Yes, exactly.
Well, George, 51 years in the union, I have to ask you, how long are you going to keep this going, buddy?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm grateful for every day I get now. So my term ends in 2024, so we'll see where I'm at in 2024. I do have people standing by. You know, I have a younger vice president and a younger secretary treasurer, so we're set here in case, you know, for some unforeseen reason I can't fulfill it. But as long as the Lord lets me, I'll keep going, I think.
There you go. Good answer. George Troia, president of Local 5 of the American Federation of Musicians, and you can find more at DetroitMusicians.net. Well, you keep it going, my brother, and best of luck to you, your whole team over there at Local 5, all right?
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. That's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, it's Scott Paul and the Alliance for American Manufacturing and Lyuna Local 202. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.